Hello everyone, and welcome to another episode of K-Drama Convos. So today we are finally doing our episode finishing after we finished Summer Strike. Mm-hmm. So we did a first impressions episode, which has been about like 50 years since we've done a first impression one.
That
so,
was the first four episodes that
yeah,
we did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if you do want to watch this drama, and don't want any spoilers before you watch it, don't listen to this episode.
Yeah.
Because we do definitely recommend this show.
Mm-hmm.
And you can always, I mean, our first episode about it has spoilers, of course,
but they're only
of the first like four episodes. And we even then purposely left some stuff out. So if you're wanting to watch it, go check that episode out. Mm-hmm. But we're just going to kind of jump right in here. We ended up really liking this drama. Like, we just, like, I don't know, for some reason we weren't expecting to. Not that we weren't expecting to like it. Not the right way. I don't think we were expecting to like it, like, so
much. As much as we did, yeah.
Exactly. So, one of the, I think, notable things in this show was their pacing. Pacing and somewhat slash cinematography stuff that they did, because one of the main genres of this show is slice of life. It's been quite a while, I feel like, that we've seen a, like, pretty true slice of life drama.
Yeah.
So, it, I don't know.
And a slice of life that wasn't, like, too heavy or too deep or too...
Which is impressive that it wasn't too heavy. Considering towards the end,
that's one of those things that I want to mention.
We'll get there.
We'll get there.
But yeah, for sure. But it had this way of, you know, like a lot of slice of life kind of focuses on the small moments, you could say. This one definitely does that and does a very good job of it as well. And it's just, I don't know, kind of. It's peaceful in its own way. It's not like, but they did a good job of having it that it's not like nothing happened.
Right.
Actually, quite a bit happened in the plot, but they had a pretty nice balance between the slice of life and more of the dramatic or drama, whatever you want
to
call
nothing,
it.
Yeah, nothing felt like it was rushed.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
And so that the drama that they had didn't feel like it was drama for drama's sake.
Yeah, for sure.
It felt like more, yes, people do have drama in real life.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Or people just go through, like, life is just life, and that's kind
of, exactly.
Like, there are always going to be hardships and stuff like that, and that's what I think this show captured really well, was the different hardships and just people going through that in their daily life. I think they did that really well. And another thing they did well was this is, by the end of the show, I was like, this is a very found family show.
Yeah.
Which I didn't, like, realize at first that it was going to be, but it totally turned out to be that way. And I don't know, I haven't seen much found family, like, shows, and the ones I've seen, some were okay, some weren't kind of thing. But this one, it just felt so genuine. It really did. Like, I remember at one point being like, imagine if Yeol-Room didn't move to that town. Like,
right.
What would have happened and how terrible it could have been. You know, like, and one thing they kind of had it throughout the show is, you know, if Yeol-Room, I'm also probably saying her name wrong. I don't know how to say it. like, regretted moving there because of what started happening and stuff. And by the end of the show, she's like, no, I didn't. But that was a journey, for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah, because at first she thought, she considered leaving because she made other people's lives more difficult.
Right.
And then she came to the point of, that's going to happen anyway.
Oh, anyway.
You know, it's going to happen anyway.
Especially if you're, like, the new one, you know, in town, basically. And it turned out that she wasn't really inconveniencing their life. It wasn't, basically, most of it wasn't her fault.
Right.
It was just coincidence that it happened at the same time.
Right. Like, and some of those things might have happened to those people eventually anyway.
Oh, true.
Even if she hadn't been one of the ripples in the pond.
Right.
It would have been somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. But just seeing her slowly connecting with the people in town was just, it was really cool. And I think they did a very good job of it. And I remember one thing we mentioned in our first impressions episode was the whole thing about sometimes you'll have very, what's the word? Very dramatic in, like, K-dramas specifically that are set in the countryside like this. Mm-hmm. You'll sometimes have characters that are very over the top, like the townspeople, quote unquote. And they're very, almost like a caricature is how you say it. Like, yes, there are people that are, like, really loud or this and that. And I remember after we had watched 4 episodes that we were like, I hope it doesn't get annoying or old. And it turned out this show actually had very little of that.
Right,
especially compared to other shows with a similar setting. And that is one thing I think they did extremely well.
Yeah.
Is just not...
Instead of being these characters that were written for a show, they were real people.
Oh, for sure. That, you know, yes, there were one or two that might have been, like, pretty nasty all the time or, you know, or loud and stuff like that. But it was more to the point of, like, it was just their personality and the way that they were. Instead of being this over-the-top.
For instance, the restaurant owner, the mother. I was afraid she was going to rub me the wrong way the whole time.
But she wasn't in, like, every single episode all the time.
She wasn't. And she wasn't the evil character that drove the plot.
No, not
like you'll
at
find
all.
In a lot of shows. She was just being who she was. I mean, that was her personality. She was just loud.
Yeah.
But she was, if you notice, she was loud when she was being pleasant as well.
Oh, yeah. That's one of the things where it is, was just her personality was some of it for sure. But yeah, and that's probably one of the things that I think I'd always come back to with this show is the characters and just their, I think, writing was very well done for sure. I mean, yes, to a certain extent, they are still drama characters, like, through and through. But it was very impressive that there wasn't those, except for maybe one or two, there wasn't moments that you're like, that was such a stupid thing to do, and, like, this and that, like, that kind of thing. Like, most of the time, you could see it from their perspective and why they did that kind of thing. And even in real life, you sometimes can be like, that was stupid. Why did you do that? Like you know, even just, like, real people in your life kind of thing. And
the only moment that I'm like, oh, this is such a drama.
The Jae-hoon and Bulma, that one?
No. Was when Ji-young sat down with Yeoreum and basically told her...
You're right.
You know, I'm here, I'm going to take care of him, and you're just messing him up, and...
What's her name? Sorry?
Ji-young.
Ji-young, who's the other librarian who works with Daebom. That was one thing I did want to know, but I forgot to write that down. That scene, where she sat her down and basically was like, you know, Daebom was doing better. He hadn't had a quote-unquote episode in a very long time, and it's all your fault. Because you moved in here, you talked to him, you did this, you did that. And it was very, very rude. Like, to the point of, like, it was just this, it felt like that nasty, like, girl jealousy thing that you'll see in shows.
Right.
And that was very frustrating. Like, I never really liked Ji-young's character, unfortunately. If out of anybody in the show, she might have felt one of the most forced or just fake or something. I don't know what.
She felt more like a character written for a show.
Yeah, a little bit. Not too bad. But her, I could still see where she was coming from. It right. was just, part of it was the way she said it to her was so rude. Mm-hmm. And honestly, half of it was just not true. Because, right. you know, your room couldn't, you know, she couldn't, she had nothing to do with people, like, doing the graffiti and stuff like that. Like, she had literally nothing to do right. with that. She was powerless, like, you know.
But what's interesting is that Ji Young, she... One, because she liked Daebum. Mm-hmm. And two, because she had always been there kind of to protect him.
Yeah. I think they mentioned they grew up and they were pretty, yeah. pretty close. When they grew
and
up.
Yet, she failed to see how good Yoram was for mm-hmm. him.
For sure. And I think in some ways she didn't want it to mm. because she was the one who was always there for him, not Yoram, right. you know? And that's saying we're, like, in some ways, like, I can see where she was coming from, why she did it, partly because she was genuinely trying to protect Daebum.
Right.
But it was interesting to see how they handled it from Yoram's perspective.
Because
mm-hmm. at first, we were afraid she was then going to push away, like,
right.
really horribly, yeah. would not talk to him. And they showed a scene of her, like... Daebum was on the beach and she walked up but she didn't talk to him at all. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, shoot, it's yeah. the start of it. And it turned out it wasn't.
Mm-mm.
I think Yoram took that into thought and consideration and, you know, maybe, you know, tried to make sure that Daebum was okay and stuff like that, but she didn't let that, like, basically drive her out of town.
Right.
Basically.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that was... something that was nice to see because I was afraid that they were going to play that kind of like trope, like mm-hmm. someone disagrees and you just immediately they backed away and like, you know, stop talking to them. And
yeah,
it was interesting to see that that's not how they did
because
it.
Because I care for you, I'm going to leave. Ugh, that whole thing.
Yeah.
But they didn't do that, which was mm-hmm. refreshing, honestly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, for sure. And so speaking of the two leads here, that's the other thing I really liked about the show. So this show, if you're looking for a show that where they date, this ain't it. Because they, like, barely get together. But they do have a lot of good moments.
They have
the
amazing chemistry.
Oh, my gosh. The two. Oh, they're so good.
Yeah.
So one of the big things is because Daebum doesn't speak as much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a big part of his character, like, throughout the whole story. And the silent moments between the two leads is so good.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of, like, I was, it's funny. At the time we were watching this, I was watching a, I guess it was a not high school. It was, well, in the U.S. it would be considered ninth grade, but in Japan it was like junior high of anime. And... it was, oh my gosh, it was so, I don't remember what it's called. It was so annoying. I don't even know why I finished it. It must have just been really annoying. That the two main characters had never dated before. I mean, they're freaking, like, what, like 15?
Right.
And they were super shy and, like, could barely talk to each other. You know, they were dating. And I was like, this is dumb. I'm sorry.
So like, they're next to each other and they're totally awkward.
Like, it's the most awkward thing you've, awkward silence you've, like, ever seen.
Right.
Which, in some ways, I think the show was doing very purposely because mm-hmm. they wanted to show how awkward a first-time teen relationship can mm-hmm. be, which they did do accurately, I guess. But in Summer Strike, it was so different. The silence between the two leads was just, like, it wasn't awkward. It was just more peaceful.
Mm.
And it was very impressive that it's a hard thing to not make awkward.
Yeah.
I mean, one thing that kind of helps in dramas is having background music, even
right.
if it's really, really
right.
quiet and that kind of thing. But the one scene where they are sitting, like, out on the porch or whatever, and it was raining. And Yoram basically said to him that it's nice because... with him, she feels like she doesn't have to talk as much because it's, you know, it's fine. He basically said, like, I always feel like I talk more with you, you know.
Mm.
But it was almost them basically that just them sitting there watching the rain together
right.
in the silence like that wasn't weird. It just mm-hmm. felt right. And that was really good. And one thing I think they did well with them having moments like that, was the background music, like, sometimes having it, mm-hmm. sometimes not. Like, with the rain, it might have just been the rain and not music as well till maybe later on. But, and that's a big thing because we had watched the Three Bs before. Was it before this show? Yeah, it was before this one.
Yeah.
And they played a lot of their background music too loud and too much.
Yeah.
So it's very nice to see the difference mm-hmm. With this
now,
show.
I think it's an interesting contrast mm-hmm. where the other couple, so to speak, mm-hmm. the two teens, mm-hmm. there was never quiet.
But that fit
because
them.
He was always talking.
He's a chatterbox.
He's a chatterbox. Uh-huh. And that, for them, that worked out really well.
Oh, definitely.
And it was mm-hmm. it was kind of cool to see the difference in the two relationships.
Oh, for sure. Mm-hmm. We'll come back to them. Give me
okay,
two
okay.
seconds here.
Sure.
They're next. Don't worry.
Okay.
So, one of the things with the Tullys was them jogging together. Mm. This is really cute. And I like when a show is able to do a repeated scene well.
Mm-hmm.
Like in Habak, how he's waiting for her outside her house. Like that kind of thing that you just recognize it right away. And one of the best was when he was in Seoul and she was in Anguk and they were jogging together like while FaceTiming.
Yeah, yeah.
That was just freaking adorable. Like,
and what's really cool about that, if you think about that, she... Mm-hmm. She was not a morning person. She hated mm-hmm. to get up. She was like, she was on vacation, you know?
Yeah.
She wanted to get up. And running was not
her thing.
Mm-hmm. But to spend time together, she learned something new.
Yeah, and that's just so...
And that's what a real relationship
is. Oh, definitely. And they weren't even quite dating that.
Right,
They weren't dating. They were in that, like...
Getting to know each other.
In between. Kind of thing. Yeah,
yeah.
For sure. Like, they were getting closer at mm-hmm. the time, but it was just so cute. Like, you know, seeing them talking to each other, like, through their earbuds and stuff. It just struck me. And also, like, in kind of the same scene was when he got his first ever phone.
Oh, wow.
Which is insane. And then staying up late texting each other. They felt like high schoolers. I think that was really cute.
And then, what was it? Didn't she say something about, isn't your wrist tired? So he just called her instead.
I know. I love that.
Great.
I really like how they did it with them. Mm-hmm. And slight spoiler, but not too much because it's not very dramatic. The ending with the leads, I think they did very well that they never had a big confession
mm-mm.
at all. I mean, maybe they did off screen in theory, but basically the ending scene is them walking on the beach. And I don't know if he offers his hand.
He offered his hand, yeah.
And then they just hold hands and continue walking. Yep. And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
It just, I feel like their relationship especially felt like this natural progression, and you could see how they were slowly starting to know each other and like each other. And, you know, referencing Habak again, we are saying how the lead couple actually has their relationship. I don't get why they like each other.
No.
Like, pretty much no. at all.
Right.
Versus, you know, that one almost felt like they were forced to be together just because they were the two leads.
Yeah.
Versus this one, it just felt so right mm-hmm. kind of thing, for sure. And the actor, both of them, the actor and actress, did amazing.
Right. And you know what? This just occurred to me.
Mm-hmm.
When you have a healthy relationship, one of the characteristics about a healthy relationship is that your thinking is outward.
Mm-hmm.
You're thinking about the people around you and other people. Mm-hmm. Those two...
Yeah.
Thought about others first.
And
that is why they could be so natural and mm-hmm. easy
yeah.
and real with each
yeah.
other.
And sometimes they even did it too, I don't know, maybe too much.
A little bit.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Most of the time it was a good thing
mm-hmm.
for them. Yeah, for sure. So, Bom and Jaehoon. Yeah, like you're saying with them always, like, especially Jaehoon, like, it was never quiet between the two.
Right.
But I think they did such a good parallel
mm-hmm.
between a high schooler, like, you know, just a teen relationship, and what would you say they were? Their mid-20s? I'd say they're like their mid-20s.
Yeah.
Or they early 20s.
Mid-20s. Because she had been out of college at least 4 years.
Oh, yeah. So mid-20s versus a teens yeah. relationship.
Right.
Was a fun dynamic to have in a show. I think we always like when they have a secondary couple, even if they're not the, like, I don't know, like, craziest thing, or even if they don't get as much time, as long as they're pretty solid and make sense, they're usually very enjoyable. And this one was nice to have that. It's kind of nice sometimes having it, like, their relationship is very different. It adds, I think, a lot more to the story that they were young, so much younger
mm-hmm.
in comparison. Yeah. But, oh my gosh, Jaehoon was just so freaking cute. Like, I can't with him. He was adorable.
It's amazing how someone like that can be like that coming mm-hmm. from the home he came from.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
You know, he can be so happy and so pleasant, even though, you know, his life wasn't fantastic.
No, not at all. Mm-hmm. And you were noting the parallel between the two and their lives.
Yeah, one would think from outward appearances that the boy that has a lot of money
mm-hmm.
has a much better life than the girl who has a drunk for a father.
Mm-hmm.
And really, his life wasn't much better. I mean, he had money. Right. He didn't have to worry about money, mm-hmm. but he essentially didn't have any parents.
Mm-hmm. And his aunt did not treat him well.
No.
Not at mm-hmm. all. But it was something that I don't think I quite expected out of him.
Yeah.
And one thing I think this show ended up touching on repeatedly was different family dynamics.
Yeah.
And most of them, unfortunately, were kind of broken, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one that they did very well with Jaehoon and Boma. I think that they, at first especially, Boma was like thinking they were like in such different worlds
yeah.
when she visited his house. And he kind of said to her, like, it's, I mean, yes, it is different, 100%, but mm-hmm. they had stuff that definitely
right.
overlapped for sure. And I don't know. They were just really cute to see. And it was cute to see Boma just, like, slowly, I think, start to care about Jaehoon.
Yeah.
Especially after getting to kind of know his backstory and just hanging out with him, you know? Like, every now and then, her, I guess, kind of bickering with him did get a little old here and there.
Yeah.
A little bit.
People who bicker like that on purpose, because
it's
a joke, like in a joking way.
Oh.
That's not my thing.
No.
But on the other hand, when we were in college, Daddy and I had this mutual friend, and his banter, he and I would banter mm-hmm. back, and I would constantly basically diss him constantly.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And that was what.
Yeah. It was just that, like,
it was
that.
Just like that.
I would say that's not their relationship exactly.
No, no.
I know what you mean.
It's very different.
It's very different than that. But a lot of it, I think, would just pull Ma, like, Dean, like, why the heck would you like me? Mm-hmm. One. Me, I don't know if she was at all embarrassed that he liked her. Probably not.
I think part of it was fear. Because if she, she got attached to him and he was just playing around,
right, and
then
also,
she'd get hurt.
Yeah, and also, like, you know, for her, the last thing that was on her mind was a relationship.
Right.
Like, she had so much going on in
yeah.
her life,
yeah.
you know, and Jaehoon just wanted to be there for her. Like, that's really all
mm-hmm.
it was, you know. And then the second thing that happened this show that was just felt like such a freaking drama was the whole thing with Boma, Jaehoon, and the best friend who came out of juvie. And theirs was a little annoying. Most of the time it was fine.
Yeah.
It was only one scene. And it wasn't the scene where she wasn't there for, was it his birthday?
Her birthday.
Oh, no. It was her best friend's birthday. It's just her and Jaehoon were going to hang out. Uh-huh. It wasn't that one. It was later on when her best friend got in a fight and she ran. I mean, of course, like, knowing the backstory, after we uh-huh. learned the backstory, of course she ran to help him. She, it was so stupid. I was like, you know, Poma and Jaehoon got in this big old argument of, like, him over me, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, just take Jaehoon with you.
Right.
Mind you, I could see why she wouldn't want to get Jaehoon involved. I could see that. I mean, her best friend literally went to juvie for, obviously, an extended period of time.
And it's not like she couldn't have just told him what was happening
to That's her. A big one. Like, she could have said a fight broke out. And then I feel like he would understand the urgency of the situation. That was kind of a frustrating thing, but she is a high schooler.
Right.
So, you know, communication is something that you learn. Mm-hmm. And also for her, it wasn't important for her to let him know what was happening. What was important was for her to get there.
Yeah.
Which, you know, that's fine. But it felt a little dramatic, you know.
It was a little dramatic.
Yeah, it was. But overall, I did really like those two. They were fun to see kind of progress a little bit. Mm-hmm. Even if they weren't, like, they were dating by the end of it, weren't they?
Yeah, because he said he proposed, remember? Essentially. Yeah, right? He said he wants to marry her. Not now.
So good. But I really like those two. They're very fun. Yeah.
Am I thinking of the correct show?
Okay.
Someone was asked, if you were on a deserted island, would you do... Yeah, because Dae Bum said, if I were on a deserted island, I would not take a math book. Oh, and that was how, like, this big decision was made.
Oh, yeah. That's one thing I really liked
that.
So, thank you.
You think about it that way.
How do I not? So,
yeah.
Because at one point, your room had, I think she mentioned taking up jogging. And she was saying how she makes decisions sometimes is she thinks, if I was on a deserted island, would I still do this?
Right.
And she said, I would still jog every morning.
Uh-huh.
You know, because I enjoy it now.
Right.
And, you know, basically they had established that she had said that.
Mm-hmm.
And later on, Dae Bum said to her, basically part of the reason he decided to leave Seoul was that if I was on a deserted island,
I would not take a math book with me. Yeah.
And that was, kind of one of those, like, repeated things that they did that... Yep. Connect, like, interconnected and
mm-hmm.
that, yeah. No, that was really, really good. I remember noting, like, oh, that's an interesting way to think about it. Mm-hmm. And then later on...
Yeah, you can't make all your life decisions that way, obviously.
No.
But that was a neat way to...
Yeah, to bring it back mm-hmm. and, like, make it, like, full circle.
Right.
For sure.
Right.
For sure. Yeah, sorry. Like, we realized we've been doing this podcast for, what, over 2 years now? It was 2 years back
in,
like, 2-3 months ago, I think. And at first, mind you, we did start off with some tricky shows. One of the first shows we took notes on was Hospital Playlist Season 1. Just a very difficult show to take notes on.
Because so much happens.
In each episode.
So we had literally pages.
Yeah, it was really bad.
Of notes.
Mm-hmm. And then as we went on, we got better at taking, like, some, like, more concise notes, mm-hmm. which we got pretty decent at. And then in the past, like, month or two, I don't know what it was, we just stopped taking notes altogether.
Yeah.
And this was a show that we've definitely regretted that. Because, like, mm-hmm. basically, as we're talking, you can tell we're remembering things that...
Yep.
I don't know. We're just stupid. I don't know why we didn't write them down. So, sorry if we end up rabbit trailing a lot because we're remembering these things now. But, yeah. But with Poma specifically, her just life story, or at least the part that we saw, was a very sad mm-hmm. story. But I think one thing that, I don't know if it was just the mood that we were in, how they showed it, I have no idea. It managed to be sad without depressing.
Yes.
Mind you, having a show that is kind of depressing is not necessarily a bad thing. I think that mm-hmm. is just a reality that some stuff in life is like that. And I think, honestly, a show being able to make you feel kind of depressed is impressive for the show to actually be able to do that. But I think in this way, the impact of what she had to go through, I feel like you really felt it, because you just...
But it didn't change what the show was.
No.
That's the difference. We've seen shows that start out as a cute little rom-com.
Oh, yeah.
And by the end of the show, it's a melodrama.
Right. And right.
This didn't do that to the show.
Right. Because this, mind you, the second, not second half, more like the last quarter definitely got more serious. But I think one thing they did quite well is that it never was a cutesy rom-com.
Right.
That helps. That, yeah, just that from the beginning. And also the reason that Yo-Room even moved was because of her mother's death. And kind of starting a show off with a death of a character, I think kind of, like, makes it so that most likely going into it, you know, this is not going to be a cutesy-cutesy romance. And you already had that established, and which made, you know, like, Bulma's story didn't feel out of place. And also it was quite gradual. They didn't tell you right away everything that had happened. It did take some time. Like, you did find out that her dad was a drunk,
right?
But we later on found that I think her mom ran away. She didn't die. She ran away. You know, and how her grandmother had been being treated, and, you know, and this and that. And it was just, and I think one big thing, I mean, this is a pretty big spoiler, but, you know, just a note here, was Poma's grandmother dying. Was, that hit pretty hard as a viewer, impressively. Like, I was not about to cry, but I just feel like I felt it so much.
Yeah, it was a pretty big shock.
It was.
That they would go to that
I didn't point. Expect it. I did. We did kind of call it. I mean, it was as soon as... I think they showed the grandmother entering the building, but they didn't show anything that I think led you on to someone else being there. It was when Poma came home and was like, oh, where is she? Immediately,
yeah, we knew right away.
You know that something bad was going to happen, unfortunately.
But, you know, it was almost like, for us watching it, we were shocked.
Oh, definitely.
But that is just what the characters in the show were going through, too.
Exactly.
It was because... It came out of nowhere.
Oh,
really?
Sure, yeah.
For them, too.
Yeah, as well, yeah. And, you know, and with the whole thing of, with the whole funeral, and, like, there's the argument that broke out, and, you know, and that kind of thing, sometimes I think if you didn't know the context of it, could feel extremely overdone and dramatic. It was only a little bit dramatic. But, honest to goodness, all of those emotions felt just, again, real.
Yeah.
And I could see that, especially in when there was a death, and also a untimely, is that how you say that? Death, that the emotions are going to be so high that you would get that, you know, in that kind of situation. And it was just one of those deaths, one of those death, like, scenes, and then also seeing the funeral afterwards, I think... It was handled in this show, in drama, just so well.
That it wasn't glamorized.
It was sad.
It was pretty raw.
It was very, it felt very raw.
Yeah.
Very sad. It felt very real, but it didn't, I didn't, like, cry over it, though.
No.
But it just felt like they... And they
dealt with the emotions of the characters really well. Like, Bulma said to Yo-Room,
yeah, I
blamed you, but I know it's not your fault. but I can't actually.
I think it was hard for her.
I can't really interact with you right now.
Yeah.
In other words, I need to process through this and deal with this first.
And that is so real.
Yeah.
I mean, especially because your room was over at their house and interact with the grandmother so much, became like kind of like her granddaughter, basically.
Well, yeah, they're like,
they even joked
about her being her older sister.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that it wasn't just that Poma had blamed her for it, even though she knew it wasn't true.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just that she'd blamed her for it. I think it was also that seeing your room might have reminded her of her grandmother. And I can totally see why she was like, I just need a break, you know?
Yep.
And I can also kind of see why your room, that's what made her decide, I think I should go. Because she felt like it was her fault. I can completely.
And now staying, I'm causing her more pain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that was one of those where I'm leaving because I care. Yes, she shouldn't have left or was going to, but I do understand why, you know. And it turns out that Poma was the one who made her stay, even though, like, in the end was kind of one of the reasons she ended up staying. But, yeah, even though with, you know, her whole family, it was such a sad story, it was really, I really liked that they showed the happy moments of her life. Like, she at one point kind of shared a story of how, you know, her and her dad would go to the comic book store, and she loved that. Yeah. And basically, Yorun was like, oh, don't you have happy moments like that in your life? And she's like, no. But then she actually thought about it, and she did have those. And, you know, or seeing her and her grandmother and Yorun hanging out and eating a meal together, and Yorun and the grandmother drinking and loving it, and it was those happy moments they had with her family that it helped to balance out the seriousness, but also felt like, I mean, that's what life and also a family's like.
Right. And when her dad, when she wound up in the hospital because of her father, and that, unfortunately, was the turning point for him.
Yeah.
It was nice to see that instead of going through this whole show and the alcoholic father remains an alcoholic father forever, that he chose to go get help so that he could be a better dad.
Now, in the end, he might have gone back to it. We don't know what happened.
But see, honestly, that was also realistic.
It was so,
because considering the whole work / drink culture in Korea,
and also just
that's expected of you to do that.
Mm-hmm. And also just his mom had just passed away.
Right.
I mean, it was a very unfortunate thing that had to happen, but I could see why.
But totally. But the fact that family, it's not just all terrible. There are ups, there are downs, there are times where we do better and times where we don't do so well.
Oh, definitely. And I think that was one thing that they had a pretty good balance of. Yes, a lot of it was very sad, but those small moments just meant so much to them. You could definitely tell. But there were a few times where I was like, if your room wasn't there for Poma, I don't know what would have happened to her. Like, truly, I don't know. So this is now going to be major spoiler territory because we're getting into the very end of the show. And also, we're going to now talk about the whole mystery and the reveal.
Right.
So, if you've not seen the show, I'd recommend stopping here.
Yes.
So, or if you aren't ever going to watch it, then just continue, I guess. But going back to the mystery, one thing we haven't mentioned, I did that kind of purposely here because I wanted to save it. So it is interesting. The very beginning, like in our first impressions, I remember us mentioning that we kind of thought the mystery there was going to be quite a bit to it. They would And we were hoping it wouldn't take a main seat. We didn't want that.
Right.
It turns out it didn't. It was one of the...
Somehow, it didn't.
Well, no, it's because it's one of the weirder ways I've seen a show handle a quote-unquote mystery, I guess you could say. At first, it felt quite odd because I thought the mystery was going to be... I mean, in the end it was going to be who killed her.
Mm.
And in the very first few episodes, they basically said, it was the dad. Boom. There you
go. Right,
You know, and I did have my suspicions that it wasn't, of course. And then the mystery kind of, in a way, quote-unquote, shifted to who was doing the graffiti, basically.
Yep.
Which, even though we could tell was all interconnected with the sister's death. And the reveal was a very surprising one. Probably one of the more surprising. And in a way, the mystery took quite the back seat. Like, it was always there because the graffiti was repeated, but they didn't really dive into, like, the true mystery till way at the end, honestly.
Now, I did call that it was the realtor.
Yes.
And, you know, the reason behind that, you know, to make money on the building and everything.
The reason was wrong.
Right, the reason was wrong.
He did seem a little sketch.
He did.
Here and there.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was something up with the realtor. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so in the end, it was the realtor and his son, the police officer.
Right.
So that was the one detail that went over my head. I didn't realize they were related at all.
I didn't think it was important that they were related.
No, I didn't either. And I think something that you said you think they mentioned it in an episode.
When it was the realtor... And the building owner.
The older guy.
Were talking.
And
the police officer came over.
I remember the scene.
And I'm pretty sure they, in conversation, you could understand that he was related to him.
Right. Which is something that, in a way, I like that they didn't. Like, they showed you that they were related, even though I totally forgot.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't, like, you didn't think anything of it.
Really. But see, that wasn't actually a mystery that we could have actually figured out.
Yes, that is true.
Because they didn't... There was no way for us to know that he went to school with...
The sister. I mean, you could buy they grew up in the same town or were a similar age, sure. But no, I think that's one thing to note, that this is one of those mysteries that you just genuinely can't do. But I do think it was interesting. One thing I do like that they did, which I kind of expected them to, was play out the entire scene of his sister dying and also the... I do not know what his name is. The witness to it. The neighbor. What is his name?
The restaurant owner's son?
Yeah, hold on.
I don't remember his name.
Gunho. Like, G-U-N-H-O.
Mm.
I don't know about him witnessing it and why. I really, really liked when they showed why he used those three characters that he wrote.
Yes.
That's what's really interesting.
Yeah, it was very interesting.
So the two triangles, which was
the school.
It was like their school symbol. Yeah. I guess it must have been two mountains, maybe.
Yeah. Or, it was two mountains. It was a logo on there.
It was like a logo, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. And then the three characters, I remember being very confused because it was three characters, but the three were only the first one was in his name, the police officer's name. Turned out that they showed in the shot, he only saw that name tag was cut in half. So he basically actually wrote different Korean characters, but they were just the like bottom half of some of the characters, which was really, really, really interesting. And I never would have guessed it, you know. I do like that they brought in Daebom's, like his smarts into figuring that out. But Yeah, with the whole thing of, like, faking that they were the ones graffitiing, so they did the chase to split them up was right. kind of interesting. And yep. then he filmed it, and that whole thing was an interesting way to do it, mm-hmm. for sure. But I'm not, like, annoyed that we couldn't figure it out.
No.
Because, honestly okay. speaking, most mysteries that I watch, I'm just too... dumb. I don't know. To actually,
well, and I don't really enjoy suspecting everybody in town either.
That's true.
Trying to figure out the mystery, trying to, like, not trusting anybody because yeah. they could have been the murderer. Camilla,
that was one of the few that you actually did it where you had no way of knowing who it was, to be honest. But they they set it up with different suspects and, like, the whole situation of why they would have been there or something.
Yeah.
That yeah. I did like. That mm-hmm. they...
There were different people mm-hmm. could have had different motivations.
Yeah, that was interesting. Yeah. I did like that. Mm-hmm. And this one didn't do that because, basically, there couldn't have been any other motivation to kill... actually, Yorum was the one who was supposed to be killed, for sure. But... So then the ending of... Well, so did you like how the mystery was concluded?
Yes, I did. Okay. I did.
I did as well.
I like when they give you a flashback in its entirety.
Yeah, that's always nice yeah. to see. It's kind of... I mean, you always need to start out with bits and pieces. Mm-hmm. But we did get... I like when they very clearly show you what yes. happened. Which this one they very clearly did.
Yeah.
So the ending of the show, like, overall... I kind of expected Yorum to move in with, move into their house
mm-hmm.
and stay with them instead. Yeah. And I was surprised, actually, that she didn't do it, before she thought of leaving. But I think that was probably because Poma had been like, I need some time. Yeah. You know, basically, yeah. She didn't really have anywhere to go. Like. You know, like, it's not like she was going to go back to the billiard club, because they were going to sell the building or something, and she didn't...
Yeah.
She didn't have anywhere, basically. Right. But her moving in, and I like that kind of showed, like, her daily routine of getting up, like 4 a.m. or something.
Four.
And delivering milk.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and she's getting paid for it and taking care of the house and, you know, and how Boma and Jaehoon are still, you know, still hanging out. And the whole thing with Jaehoon,
went to America.
Did he basically run away back to
They
Korea?
Don't ever really tell us.
Yeah, they didn't tell you if his parents knew he was leaving or if he ran. We have no idea.
Right.
But, you know, him coming back and also I liked with Daebom that they showed that he is continuing his research. But he's doing it from mm-hmm. the town, and, you know, he can just do it remotely, since you're going to do it remotely regardless, because a person...
And rather than being a competitor with the other guy, they
really
wound
like
up
that.
Working together, mm-hmm. minus the
terrible,
professor.
Awful professor.
Yeah.
He's a character that felt very fake, and very, like, a character, was the nasty professor.
Yeah.
Well... It's fine. We don't need to talk about that. But I think the ending, it didn't need to be overcomplicated or anything like that. Like, basically, and also that Daebom went to see his dad.
Yeah.
Again, was a huge step mm-hmm. for his character. One thing I definitely didn't
They kind of, I like how they wrapped it up, but they didn't end their lives. Like,
oh, yeah,
their
yeah.
lives are just going to keep going on.
Or honestly, if anything, the ending for us was a new chapter for them.
Yeah.
If that makes
yeah.
sense, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the scene with Daebom seeing his dad, I almost like that they didn't show us the whole scene.
Yeah.
Like, that almost would have opened up another plot line. All they showed is that he went and had a conversation.
Yep.
And that's
all we needed to know.
That's all we need to know, mm-hmm. you know. And, yeah, so, and we already talked about, you know, the ending with the leads, but it was very satisfying. Like,
mm-hmm.
pretty much all the loose ends felt tied, you know, for
sure. It was really nice because I've watched shows where the rest of the show is great. And then the ending
Ooh, yeah, yeah,
is
yeah.
either really, really rushed or really, really sappy, cheesy.
Yeah, I totally get what you mean. Awful. Yeah.
And this just...
It just, like, clicked into place.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah. And I do understand that it is kind of hard not to have a cheesy ending.
Sure. Yeah.
I'd say it's pretty...
Because you want to have a happy ending.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. But... And also, like, with Ji-young, the other librarian, ended up not leaving. Is that correct?
No, she did.
She did leave in
she
the end?
She did leave in the end. Because... Sungmin helped move her, or was talking about, I've got all the boxes and stuff to help move you. Honestly, I don't think she's wound up staying in Seoul very long, but she did. She did go to Seoul. Time.
Whatever. I don't know. We know she ended up going, but she kind of came back for a while when Daebom came back with the whole death and everything.
Yes.
But even with Ji-young and Sungmin, did I actually accidentally... skip over Sungmin, didn't I?
You did. That's okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. We'll end with that. Even them, it was kind of like just they were hanging out more, and then I think she might have been going to Seoul. I honestly don't remember. And just kind of seeing that, yep, their lives are going to continue. That connection is going to continue.
And the way they interact with each other is the same way
as
they've always interacted.
Yeah.
And
yeah, mm-hmm, for sure. And it was something that I felt kind of bad. When we finished the show, I was like, man, it's been a while since I've, like, really liked a show. Like, just... Or was not that I... Okay, not that I haven't really liked shows that we've watched recently. I think it was I really liked a show without having... expectations that I was gonna love it or something. That very specific.
We hadn't read anything about it. We didn't have any preconceived
we
notions.
Didn't know. The only, like, actor we knew was the little kid. Basically. Like, we hadn't seen any of them in anything, and if we had, it was very minor. Mm-hmm. And that was just... It really did feel like a breath of fresh air. Mm-hmm. Even though... A lot of it was very serious. It still did. I think part of it was that we ended up kind of just stumbling across this drama, and it just worked for us.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
It did.
So, I skipped over this in my notes because I was on a flow, and I forgot. I'll let you take this one.
Okay, so for this drama, and we decided we would pick a favorite... Or a standout character.
Side characters. Specifically.
Yes, and specifically not the lead characters that we thought was the best.
Yeah. Of the side characters.
Of
here.
The side characters.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
And so I chose Sungmin. Mm-hmm. What I liked about him was at the beginning, honestly, I was like, oh no.
Yeah, I was
Are we
really
gonna deal with this guy?
Not.
And then he was such a multifaceted character.
He really was.
And obviously, he's a lot deeper than...
He's got a story,
we even
man.
Got to know. You know, he has a child. There's no mom anywhere. But he's, you know, he's just an interesting father. You know, he pays his kid to do mischief. But then when his kid gets in trouble, he's, you know, he's the papa bear and he's going to jump in and take care of him. And he realized how wrong he was, and he changed his tune. And but the way he talks to people and stuff never really changes.
No,
he's pretty consistent in that.
It's not that he's rude.
No, he's not.
He's just very straight up, casual,
straight
kind of
up,
dude.
Yes,
very straight up.
Very straight up.
You know,
but his whole crush that he had on Ji-young was so obvious.
Oh, it was, like, blatant.
Blatant.
Oh, I worried.
And yet, she didn't outright reject him.
Yeah.
But I think he handled it, the whole thing, really, really well.
Mm-hmm. He was just always there for her.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
She kind of realized that, because she did call on him, I think, more than once, even.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I was a little sad we didn't get to get his story, but I don't know. I think that almost added to his character, not knowing
the
backstory of how he got to where he is,
right?
But how is he dealing with it now? And that was the interesting part.
Yeah, for sure. Like, there was one scene where him and, is it Ji-young or Jin-young?
Ji-young.
Ji-young, not Jin-young. It was GOT7. Ji-young were at the restaurant, and she asked if he was going to have a drink. He's like, oh, I never drink. It just struck, like, yeah. I kind of expected them in that scene to expand. Like, he said it as, like, super matter of fact. Oh, right. I never drank.
Right.
And which just didn't, like, his character just felt like, ah, he's the type who can have a good time. Right. Like, right. You know, he could, like, you know, party a little bit kind of thing. And he's basically, like, he's not, like, going to be, like, belligerent drunk or something. But he's just going to, like, you know, have a good time and drink a little bit. But he, him saying, like, nope, I never drank. And I don't think that was a joke.
No,
like,
I don't think so either.
And, yeah, and it was just one of those things where, like, you can tell he has a story.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, yeah, I do agree that in some ways I wish we found it out. But also he wasn't a lead.
Right.
So it wasn't, like, it wouldn't actually do anything to the overarching story to know his backstory. Mm-hmm. So I understand why they didn't need to include it, but he was one of the most surprising. I think we even mentioned that in our first impressions because he'd already kind of, I don't think he changed his tune. I think we just saw a different side to him is what it was for sure. And it was nice seeing that a character, like, sometimes your first impressions of a person are wrong.
Exactly.
And I like that our first impression was wrong. Yeah. Just because that's, you only saw him in specific situations and specific scenes.
And that's how the townspeople, you know, you have this first impression of this girl who walks in with the backpack and is now living in town. Yeah. And
who's also, like, from the city.
From the city. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And even, like, they, probably a few of them had very much the wrong first impression.
Right.
For sure.
Right.
You know. Mm-hmm. I think that was kind of, I like when I'm wrong. Not always. A lot of the time, I do like when I'm wrong about a character.
I like when characters can surprise us.
Yes. In a good way.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess sometimes.
Well, maybe sometimes in a bad way.
Actually, probably isn't necessarily bad either. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. For sure. But, and that was something that his character was fascinating. And it, for some reason, just struck us in a way. I don't know why.
Yeah, so going forward, we're going to
try and have a highlight
character. Have a highlight character in each show.
What we're going to call it.
Yeah.
And we wanted to specifically be highlighting side characters.
Yeah.
So not in necessarily every show will there be one. Because I definitely think there are some shows that the side characters are, like, such side characters that you don't even know them.
Yeah,
kind of
thing. Side characters that are developed a little to have an opinion about.
Exactly, yeah. So probably not, like, the leads or even secondaries, which is almost like Boma and Jae-hoon are almost just the secondaries
exactly.
This situation.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. He was just so interesting, you know, kind of thing.
So, here we are. The rating. I rated this pretty high.
Okay, I want to hear yours first.
I gave it a 9 out of 10.
9 out of 10?
Yeah. Because looking back on it, it wasn't 100% perfect.
Oh, absolutely.
See,
not.
What I have to always do is I have to always compare it to something I did give a 10 out of 10 to.
What's that? Camilla?
Gumiho.
Okay. How do you compare those two?
But see.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
There wasn't 100% I didn't like everything.
Yeah.
But what I didn't like was so minor.
It was very minor.
That I can give it a 9 out of 10.
Yeah. I'm trying to decide. I might give it an 8.5. I'm not. Just because of the mystery ended up not. I mean, it was a mystery, but kind of wasn't to, like, literally the last few episodes, which was fine. It just was, like, kind of odd.
I think they dealt with his childhood trauma really well. Certain scenes.
Yeah.
They dealt with it well.
Yeah.
It's not like this light switch that you can turn off kind of thing.
Oh, for sure. You know? Oh, like, oh, yeah, yeah, for sure. I don't know. I'm stuck between 8.5 or 9. Okay. I'm in there, too. Which, and I think one thing, if I would be recommending it to someone, it would have to be someone who does, like, slice of life to some extent.
Yeah, because of the pacing.
But they have to go into it knowing it isn't a happy, like, a happy-go-lucky slice of life.
Right,
if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like,
Hospital Playlist is more like a happy-go-lucky slice of life. For the most part.
God.
It's more happy.
I wouldn't call happy-go-lucky. I would
not
call
happy-go-lucky. It's more happy.
You had a lot of death in it.
Yeah, but
stuff.
Still.
It is different. It is
it's
very
more,
different.
It's more because it always ends on the upbeat.
Sure, sure. But I'm saying, like, for example, like, Yuru Camp, the anime. It's about a bunch of anime girls camping.
Yeah.
So that, you can almost call, in some ways, a slice of life.
Okay.
And basically, it's not that. It's not that type. Mm-hmm. It is a more just straight up realism. Not realism. Okay. This is still a drama.
Sure.
Sorry, I'm not, realism isn't the right word. It's more just raw, I guess might be a better way to describe that. It has those peaceful moments, but a lot of it is pretty hard hitting, I'd say. Yeah. So if I was recommending it to someone, it'd be something that I would kind of have to, like, gauge if they would enjoy that sort of thing. Because if they're looking for a romance, it's not there.
No.
If they're looking for a hardcore mystery,
that's
not
that. There either.
So, and that's okay, you know. This is a interesting mix of, I mean, I've seen it's a different kind of genre. Like, slice of life, romance to mystery levels, you could almost say. Yeah. It was more slice of life and less romance, but there was still romance, you know.
Right.
So would you recommend it to someone?
Yes, I would.
You would?
Like you said, though, it would depend on the person.
A lot, for
sure. Like, I wouldn't recommend this to someone who has a short attention span. Or who doesn't, who likes
action or something.
I always say this. Someone who's into Avengers type stuff.
Oh, really? Just action.
Action,
general.
Action, action, action. You wouldn't like this.
Well, yeah, of course. But you probably know that anyway.
Yeah.
And one thing I'm going to start doing, because this, I haven't figured out how to make this natural yet, but if we do have an Instagram, by the way, I've realized I've never mentioned it on an episode.
Wow.
It's just, I think it's just, is it KGeneral Convo's podcast? Is that what, I don't even know what my own Instagram handle is. I'm really good. Yes, it's just KGeneral Convo's podcast, so if you've also seen this show or anything like that and would love to discuss it, please comment, message, whatever. It'd be great. You know, I'd love to connect more on there, even if it's not this episode and about a totally one of our past ones. But yeah, so we hope you guys enjoyed listening, and we'll see you all next time.